CoreyWeirSullinet.ca, and there's another site, rankandfile.ca. They're all on top of this. That we are in the age when these, you don't just get a formal letter posted in the Star and the Sun telling you what happened. Rank and file people with a lot of talent, like Corey and others, Sid Ryan, go to Sid Ryan's Facebook. If there's anybody who's, I shouldn't say he's, what's the word, Schadenfreude? Is that the word, Schadenfreude?
Well, yeah, it is.
Do I know how to say it?
You said it. Yeah, you said it fine. It's a, the concept is, of course.
I don't think he's doing his duty.
He's doing his duty.
He feels your pain, as Bill Clinton says.
Right.
But he also, in the back of his mind, he wants to say, I told you so.
Yeah, and he did.
I warned you this show was coming down the road.
Yeah.
And if there's anybody who knows the pulse of Canadian labor right across the board, all of, from sea to sea to sea.
Phil, if I can say something about – I mean, there's a lot of things to say about what, that Unifor has done here that is just wrong. Of course, rating is – is it used to be rating was absolutely forbidden in the labor movement, and it should be. But I want to say in particular that Jerry Diaz chose a moment and destroyed the moment with this story when there was so much outrage at Tim Hortons as a corporation,
yes,
for the way they treat their workers, and labor was getting so interested in it. If Unifor needs new members, let them pay some organizers to go out and organize Tim Hortons. You know, I work for a small union, and we actually represent some Tim Hortons workers. It's very tough. It's tough organizing them. It's tough keeping them with a collective agreement. And it's tough representing them because they are run on a very tyrannical basis. The franchisees have they are squeezed by the corporation. And, of course, like any straw boss, they – squeeze the workers, right?
Now, by the way, can you update us so you're aware of this? These demonstrations are ongoing, right?
They are, although I noticed that they have been less in the news. But this will inevitably impact the effort. But you know, there's lots of Tim Hortons out there. If unions want to organize, I mean, they should do it. You know, it's like by all means. I mean, the Tim Hortons workers really, really need your help right now. And it's
remember, you're right. Go ahead.
To me, it is very distressing that at a moment when the whole labor movement was getting active and was having with these spontaneous demonstrations, and the press was even hammering Tim Hortons because they were so ham-handed in the way they were abusing their staff because they were angry that the provincial government raised the minimum wage after it being frozen for 10 years, right? And it's just it's terrible that it got knocked off track, you know, by this issue with people who already belong to a union and a union with a very long, proud history, you know, and didn't need a new union. They needed to solve their internal problems. It doesn't mean they need a new union.
Well, we are at we're starting to see pushback, thank goodness, from labor across the board. There is a number of these super bargain outfits who they have an absolute law. There will be no unions. You remember that in Walmart, went to Quebec and they built had the structure up and everything, and the workers formed a union, and Walmart left.
Yeah,
rather,
shut the business
rather
down.
Than
yeah.
accepting yeah. to have a union, they said, that's it, we're out of here. So, you know, and that's when you realize also your big friends in politics desert you, particularly if it's the Liberal Party. But, you know, up until that time, they're your friend. This is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. But there's a detail I want to make sure I mention involved here. In the Unite Here documentation and evidence, you can find it online. There is an issue that was causing, adding to the problem, which was racism. There are allegations, heavy allegations, that there are racial tensions inside that local. And Sid Ryan rightly put his finger on that and said, you know, you can't, it's like hearing about sexual harassment. If that allegation is there, it behooves the international or any center, labor center, to actually move in and establish the facts and then deal with anybody who might be perpetrating it. It is not something you can just say, oh, that's how it is. No, that is not how it is. There has to be a fight over that. And Unite Here was receiving reports and complaints, a lot of them, which detailed incidents involving people being called dirty names in this battle. So when I hear that there's been a trusteeship and that one of the reasons for it was that because there were allegations of that type and evidence, people talking, saying it was who the victim was and et cetera, that I would say any union should do its duty. That's what a trusteeship is for. You can't allow a rogue local to start having its own rules, and particularly if there is an issue between the members, which it's always dangerous that there is. There's also gender issues. But people need to know that. And it's another reason why a union like Unifor should not be nosing around and championing one side or another. If there is an issue, they need to say what they think of that. If you're going to recruit them, are you recruiting on a basis of favoring one ethnic group against another ethnic group? Because that might be the accusation. CLC told them don't do it for a lot of reasons. That, to my mind, is the biggest one. We'll see how it goes. It is not going to be pretty. What's going to happen here is not going to be pretty. It's going to be a mess. And one of the reasons we talk about it on the Tater Report is that it is not reported adequately. If you were to go by the statements of Jerry Diaz in Huffington Post, you may as well forget it. You're not learning anything. He's not providing evidence. He's just making noises. When we talk to Sid Ryan, we get facts, which we prefer. And we think people need to know about this. And we'll, as I say, we're going to follow this. I think we'll take a break. I'm trying to remember what we have. Whatever that is, we're going to take a break and come back shortly. That was the Lord. Wonderful young woman, very brave, very smart. I follow her on Twitter because, you know, Susan Saranda is one of my leaders, and Lord. Lord has come in for some grief lately. It's one of the most fantastic cultural phenomenon. She's at the age of 16, 17, she had this record that I used to call them records anyway, this recording. And it hit so big that she'd never been on a stage before, and the world knew about her. And so then they had to put her actually on the stage, and it turns out she's very authentic, very smart. And last night, she did not receive the due attention at the awards. What's the name of those awards?
The Grammys.
The Grammys.
Yeah.
And there's the media, mainstream media is saying, well, it's because it's a male chauvinist thing, you know, and this is a running issue about the status of women and the way they're treated in the music industry and ignored or slighted. I think everybody's trying to cover something that is about Lord that needs to be recognized and respected. She chose not to perform in Israel recently, and she's come in for some grief on that front. And I am amazed that she has that kind of courage because it's a tough world out there. And somebody chose to heckle her recently, and she handled it gracefully. And by the way, I'm so impressed that she's, you know, this is political stuff. When people are artists, you know, they usually find this a little disconcerting. And she only made it. We don't even know actually what basis she decided that she wasn't going to. But certainly there are debates amongst artists and performers and many theater people and movie people who decide not to because of this ongoing issue. Whether it's the attack status of Gaza or the settlements on the West Bank, but there's a lot of anger. And so this is being debated. But at any rate, I just thought, the mainstream media wasn't helping me out where I wish to be helped. I want them to recognize how, you know, the struggles that go on in the culture, which are like sport. These struggles are really deeply political. Super Bowl, who's, you know, the issue, who's going to be celebrated? Who's going to be flipped the coin? Is it going to be another Bush or is it going to be another general? I mean, these things are all highly political. And only the biggest guys make the call. And we're going to put that kid on? Are we going to delete this one? Who's going to sing? That's all big stuff. And but Lorde started off with that very nice song, which she's a poet. So the language she uses is, you know, we're not royal. Really, I think, hit a nerve with people. They like the sound of that. We're the ordinary. That's how people were reading it. But being a poet, she doesn't have to answer. She said, make of it what you think. Anyway, so this is the Tater Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM. And Phil Conlon is here. A matter that I want to make sure we say something about on the program is this Canada's decision to involve itself in the problems of Myanmar, Bangladesh, India, China, and to pretend that they've discovered the greatest humanitarian crisis and all this is very irritating. There is, in my mind, a game going on here where they're trying to set up the government of Myanmar, set it up. They have the usual players, Bono, or do what you say, Bono, I don't know, Bono. You can have him, that's all I say. Bono, Bob Ray, others want to correct or help. They don't want to do any such thing. They want to interfere in the internal affairs of Myanmar. And the line is, we have these refugees from an incident last fall which began with an attack on army posts, 30 of them, by an armed group with historical identification. It is not an insurgent group. It's an army, and it has a leadership. And it's two principal backers, the United States and Saudi Arabia. So why don't we just put that on the table and discuss that so that if we're going to – but instead, the New York Times, the Toronto Star, and others all say, no, the issue is the army of Myanmar. That is not true. There are a minimum of 7-8 ethnic armies. They're called armies inside Myanmar that are not at peace with the central government. Are you aware of that, Phil?
Yes,
they're not. And so you have this. And guess the New York Times has looked at this problem and decided the problem is the Myanmar government. It's not these armed groups. None of them are responsible for anything. All they get to do is fire back or do what they wish. That country is not Canada. It is not Britain. It's not France. It has its own history. It is a former colony of Britain. And because the British used to run it and extract their wealth from it and exploit its people, the British think they get to be number one in solving any upcoming problems, which is serious malarkey. If you were the colonial power, you have to go to the back of the line. You don't go to the front of the line. You have to stay in the back because if your name comes up, whoever should be in charge of any resolutions should turn to you and say, just keep quiet. You caused a lot of it. You were the colonial power. Stay out of it. But instead, the colonial thinking, and particularly in Ottawa, and the colonial thinking in the U.S. and London is, well, we used to run that place. Therefore, we have a duty to come and help. No, the answer to that is no, you don't. It's the opposite. And the Toronto Star made fun of made a point of saying Duterte of the Philippines met with Suu Kyi, the political leader of Myanmar, and he told her, never mind these NGOs. They're just a bunch of noise. I thought that was pretty good advice, actually. But you see, Toronto Star said, he's not a nice man. Well, is Trump a nice man? Is Trudeau a nice man? What is all this? The Philippines, and Phil, you know a lot about this. It's not an easy place to rule. It's a lot of people and a lot of things,
and a lot of U.S. Army bases. Yes. All over the country, U.S. Army trainers, special forces, you know. So whatever the Filipino leader says, he's got to have his
has
looking over his shoulder.
Washington. Duterte has a tendency to talk bluntly and directly. And it is rather apparent that he's a popular leader. But his point was that he's, of course, part of this South Asian issue. And the U.S., we want to remember, we were told, is pivoting to Asia in order to contend with China, which is minding its own business. And the business part's what bothers U.S. They're very good at business. They're very good at what they do. And to the point it's almost becoming laughable about this. But Obama said he's going to pivot. What he meant was, I'm going to throw more warships into the region. I'm going to exercise more direct power. One thing has happened is there's a pushback. Vietnam now, which was looking very friendly, is not so friendly. Cambodia, not so friendly. Myanmar, which was trying to make nice and do everything and that they were asked to do, now they're starting to push back because this idea is that you don't make any decisions in your countries or your region without the U.S. telling you that's good or not good. Just to correct the record for the Trudeau and Bobre's going to take another trip out there. You remember how he helped Sri Lanka?
Oh, that was wonderful. He's always helping. He's always a very helpful guy.
He helped the Kurds, by the way. Yeah. He did a lot of work with the Kurds. So he'd been kind of quiet about the Kurds lately. And they've been quiet about him. So I guess it's even. But the claim is that Myanmar is not implementing and not doing anything on its internal problems. But in fact, the Rakhine State, where the crisis has been, they did something really quite unprecedented, dramatic. They asked Kofi Annan, former Secretary General of the United Nations, for whom I actually don't have any respect, but he's got a big title. And he has done a lot of footwork for the colonial powers, et cetera. But he was asked, probably with the blessing of the Washington and Paris and London, he was asked by Suu Kyi to come to Myanmar, to go to Rakhine State, and to consult and to have a body of advisors, whatever he wanted, to make a recommendation as to how to handle the problem. Now, what could be more reasonable? And he took a year, and then he wrote a report. And he gave the report to Suu Kyi and the government of Myanmar. And they said, thank you, we agree with it, and we will now work to implement it. And the day that they received that report, they got attacked at 30 of their posts by this army that is a leader of which is a Saudi, I think he's a Saudi citizen, or he spends a lot of time
there. He's a resident.
So you say, okay, and their army reacted to being attacked. Armies will tend to do that. If you attack them, they tend to get kind of excited. But in reporting, the emphasis wasn't on they've got a report and they say they're going to implement it, and they didn't even write their own Myanmar report. This happens to be Kofi Annan, who has a lot of respect around the world. That's what has to make you very suspicious. Why isn't Canada saying they like the Kofi Annan report? Do they like it or don't they? Because it's there. And also, Suu Kyi's government said they will implement it. What's wrong with that? I thought that isn't that progress? And to the extent that you can put your nose into the business of another country, okay, you did that. Why not congratulate Kofi Annan? Why aren't Canadians told that Kofi Annan made the blasted report? By the way, why doesn't a star in the Globe tell us what's in it? He wasn't doing this for fun. It's a practical plan. I don't know if Bob Ray has one, but Kofi Annan has one. And you can't accuse him of bad faith because every element of that was something that had been asked for, and then they did it. So I think, just to wind this up, to remember that U.S. is pivoting into the region, and number one problem according to them, is China. And China is talking to Bangladesh. China's talking to Myanmar, and they've actually worked out a plan for the return of the refugees. By the way, remember the game, according to the Star, Globe, et cetera, was to chase people out. Well, if the plan was to chase them out, why is there a plan to return them? That doesn't make sense, does it? And how can you use all these dirty, heavy words like genocide if you say we want them to come back? And, well, I'll leave that to Bob and the other wise guys to see if they can figure it out. But listen, Kofi Annan wrote a report. I tell everybody, there's a Taylor report. Read his report. Show a little respect for the government of Myanmar. And since you haven't ever been there, don't think you know a lot about it. So I want to thank Braden. Done great work. This is under trying condition. We always create trying conditions here just to test everybody out. So we really appreciate it. And Phil Conlon. And we'll see you next week.